radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for making us part of your day. Pray that the time that we spend here discussing God's Word will be something that will be beneficial to you. We want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And again, I just want you to know the reason we talk about these businesses here is because I believe the Bible, when it says, know them that labor among you. And so I have two rules, and that is I don't have anybody that speaks at my church unless I know them or I know someone who knows them. And I know that person well enough to say, you know what, it's a rock solid. It's going to be time well spent. And so we have some friends, and from time to time, if we realize that a person has been at another church, we call and we say, you know, how was that? How did it go? And you know, was it? Would you entrust them with your pulpit again? And so, most of the time on Sunday mornings, I'm preaching at Merritt Assembly of God. This coming Saturday or this coming Sunday, this is one of those 2 weeks of the year where I lead worship besides preaching. And so, if you've heard me singing on the radio program here, you can pray for us that God would show up and be merciful and help me to remember the words and get started in the right key and all that sort of stuff. If you've ever prayed for Merritt Assembly of God, pray for Merritt Assembly of God this week. But with that being said, that's the reason why I recommend Creative AC Solutions to you. They are Bill is not a novice. He is a very experienced technician. He knows all sorts of things. I've literally had him tell me what to do. He wasn't even at my house. He wasn't at the church. Yeah, I just sent him a text message, and he was able to respond to me with the information that I actually got my AC working. And then he came the next day and he said, I think it's going to be I was having a phone call with him, and he said, that sounds like this. And he came the next morning and opened up the cabinet, and he said, you see this? And I said, yep. And you could just see that there was no doubt what the problem was. He was there for a very short period of time. The unit was up and running. And to be honest with you, I haven't had any more problems at my house since then. There was one time where I had him out on a problem, and about a week later, something else happened, but it wasn't related to that other situation. You know, if you've got an older unit, sometimes multiple things can go bad, but I will tell you this, he's very good. He's very thorough. He's very experienced. He's very reasonable, and he loves Jesus. And so if you're in the central Brevard County, you can call Bill at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Tell him you heard about him on the radio. He loves hearing that. He's a big fan of the radio program. And we pray that it is a situation that is a win-win situation for both you and him. Okay? 321-759-3284. So, Saturday, 11 a.m., the Let It Go tour is going to be visiting Merritt Assembly of God. We would like to encourage you to come out, be a part of what God is doing amongst the ladies of Brevard County. It is going to be well worth your time. I pray that when you come out, you would, come with an expectation that God is going to speak to you, that he's going to minister to you, and that you're going to, it's going to be well worth your time. I tell you what I'm going to do. This is a free conference. It's a free conference for the ladies. And if you come to that event and it's not what you thought it was going to be, I'm going to do double your money back for the registration. Since the registration was free, I'll double it back to you. It'll be double free. And actually, that's just my attempt at a humor. Haven't used that one on the radio program before, but we really believe that this could be a life-enhancing, ministry-edifying event. And it would be beneficial to the saints, to the body of Christ in Brevard County. It's not a Merit Assembly of God event. We're the host site. We're where they're meeting. We're the point of convergence there. But the ministry that is going to take place there is top-notch. And you'll want to be there to be a part of that. That'll be Saturday at 11 a.m. And so hopefully we'll be able to see you there. My plan is to be there in case something goes amiss technologically and they need me to come in and help out there. Ladies, you're going to have a great, great time of ministry. So today I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26. We had just finished yesterday in 2 Timothy. And we talked about the goal. Let me just read that verse to you real quick. And it says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's going to be our launching point today into Hebrews chapter 10, verse number. Well, let's start reading in verse number 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, this is a different dynamic that is going on than what Paul had written Timothy about in 2 Timothy. This is not about how are we dealing with opposition. This is like, how can we work to the mutual benefit of one another? Okay? And it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? Now, this passage is not the only place that it talks about how important it is for saints to gather together. Okay? A person asked this question, you know, one day, What would Jesus do? Would he be in church or would he be out ministering? Well, the answer to that question might surprise you. It's both. It's not an either or proposition. It is a both and proposition. The scripture says that Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. If it was the Sabbath, it was not a question as to where Jesus was going to be. He was going to be in the synagogue. And when he was there, the word was going to be preached, and there was going to be ministry that took place, that lives were going to be improved, they were going to be changed. And so if you are listening to my voice, you need to realize how important it is that you assemble together with other believers, okay? So let me tell you why. Go back up to verse number 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So when believers come together, what you've got going on in your life is either an opportunity for me to minister to you and help you to achieve a new level of maturity in your walk with God, or it's an opportunity for you to build me up and lift me up to a new level of maturity. It should be a mutually beneficial relationship. When you're talking about the body of Christ, it is not a one person wins, one person loses. It is supposed to be a body building experience where the body of Christ is challenging one another, spurring one another on to good works. And that involves it coming together. Okay? I know that there is a mindset that's very popular now, and that is, look, I have my walk with God, but I don't believe in organized religion. Well, you know, I believe in organized relationship with Jesus. God is not the author of chaos. He's not the author of confusion. And Jesus' ability to heal is greater than any individual that has hurt you, their ability to have injured you. Okay, so do not get trapped in the snare of the enemy. We talked about the enemy snare yesterday. One of those greatest, great traps that the enemy has is the trap of offense, of being offended. And listen, being a perpetual victim of offense is not a sign of maturity, not a sign of wisdom, not a sign of strength. Living offended is actually shouting from the rooftops, I'm weak. And, you know, I don't mean to sound that harsh. What I'm trying to get across to you is the enemy is really great at making bait look attractive. I've got a friend of mine. He posted a picture of this one particular fish. He has a pond on his property, different part of the state. And he said that fish was probably caught 7 or 8 different times. And on he went out to his pond one day and there it was. He knew that it had been caught at least once because he caught it and he put it in his pond, and he had grandkids that caught it a number of times and everything, and the fish had been caught and released so many times, it's like, you know what, I'm done. But that meant that that fish had been biting at the bait, that the fisherman had made it look like he could not live without taking a bite of this. And in actuality, what it was doing was it was creating that fish was unaware that every time he took a bite of it, that he had placed himself at the mercy of the person on the other end of the line. And I will tell you this, God is the God of all mercy. The devil doesn't have any. You're not, if you're expecting the devil to be merciful, you are, your eyes have been spiritually blinded. He is not a merciful devil. He is a thief, a murderer, and a destroyer. Okay? So you don't want that. It says that you and I, we're not supposed to forsake the assembliness of ourselves together. So you may say, but you know what? I'm shut in. I've got a physical inability to be able to get to the house of God. I want you to understand that God in his great mercy has created an ability for you and me to gather together, whether it's you gathering with me or with another church or whatever. Technology is of such that you can worship, you can attend church from your computer screen if you want. You're gathering together with saints right now here on the radio program. The thing is, the closer that you see the day of the Lord, the day of his return, the more intense the spiritual firefight you see. It is not the time to be negligent and slack off your spiritual relationship. It is the time to press in, to be more diligent than ever, and say, you know what? the body of Christ needs one another more now than it's ever needed it before. Why do I say that? There was a news article that came out here not too long ago, and it said that the persecution of Christians in many parts of the world have reached genocidal levels. Genocide is where people are killed and murdered simply for who they are. Not what they've done, simply for who they are. The level of persecution against Christians right now is at all time, going all the way back to the day of Christ. It is at an all-time high. And then many times the very persecutors portray themselves as victims. And that's not the way that works at all. And so I want you to know that we need one another. The Assemblies of God have had multiple pastors around the world that have been shot or killed, murdered simply because someone didn't like that they were propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. One pastor had been there for 40 years, and they said, "You're not going to be able to stay here." And he said, "I have presented the gospel here for 40 years. Why would I run from you?" And they ended up, you know, executing him. I will tell you this: no persecution will ever stop the forward movement of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I will build my church," and he will build his church. But the more that you see that going on, the more that you see persecution, the more that you realize how close you are to either the end of your life or the return of Christ, you know, I don't know what day, I don't know what hour, I don't know what month, I don't know what year, but I can tell you this, the return of Christ is closer now than it was when I was a kid, closer than it was last week. So there should be something in me driving me into greater fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Not every time I gather together am I there for me to be a speaker. If the only time that you gather together with other believers is when you are the one that is the featured input, there's a problem there. There's a problem. You and I, we need to be mutually benefiting one another. So, what does this have to do with the truth? Verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after we received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. So, what is being said here in this particular passage is this, that when we become aware, when we know the truth, when we know the truth of God's word, where we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, when we become aware of that, it is impossible for that soul, that spirit, to remain unaffected. Knowledge of the truth should lead to willful, intentional obedience. Okay? The Bible talks about when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Revelation of the truth is supposed to birth transformation in believers. And that transformation is supposed to make us to think, act, and speak more like Jesus than we did before that revelation took place. That knowledge should cause us to have an intentional desire to obey God rather than rebel and disobey God. Okay? There are a lot of people who want to argue for a faith in Jesus Christ that doesn't manifest transformation in the life of the person who is professing Christ. I want you to know that that is an unbiblical expectation. If you were a thief, you're not supposed to stay a thief. If you were a liar, lying is the native language of hell. Truth is the only language in heaven. There is no deception in heaven. Simply truth. Simply truth. There is no rebellion in heaven. There's only obedience. Okay? The word angel means the word messenger. That's really what it is. It's an angel is a spiritual being who carries a message. And here's the thing. The message isn't his. The message is a message from the throne room of God, where God says, I need this message conveyed. And the angel says, yes, sir. And goes and jubilantly and willfully delivers that message, does not accept any of the praise, any of the accolades, says, you know what? I'm a creation of God, and I'm just here to deliver a message. And then he returns to God and says, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. May all of us come to that place where we are having the willful obedience of a life that is transformed by the revelation that we have of God. You know what? If you think that you know everything there is to know about Jesus, you've got a thing or two to learn. There is a reason why I'm not, There is a reason why there are some places in my life where I feel good about my position theologically. I just don't feel absolute in my position. And I could tell you why. And that's because there were people who in the scriptures thought that they had an absolute corner on the truth. And they did. They were absolutely wrong. And the Pharisees absolutely missed out on some things that they were absolutely sure they were right about. And so I leave room for some grace in my life in that area. I want to know the truth. I've got a lot to learn. There's still so much about Jesus that there is to learn. I want to share one last thought with you here in this. The Spirit guides us into truth, and that is in the little epistle of 3 John. It is right before the epistle of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. 2 John is one chapter. 3 John is one chapter. Jude is one chapter. Just a little bitty thing. The most famous verse from 3 John is probably, beloved, I pray in verse number 2, that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. I want to conclude today's program by focusing on verse number 3. John writes this, and he said, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John was a discipler. He was a person that made other disciples. One of my favorite church history figures is a man by the name of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John, who ended up being a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about him in Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can do a Google search for Polycarp, and you can read about him. John says that as a discipler, he has no greater joy than to hear that his spiritual children walk in truth. Brethren came and testified of the truth, and the church that John was writing to said, the elder that John was, Gaius, that John says, whom I love in the truth, He said, I hear that you walk in the truth, and that is my greatest joy. That is my greatest joy. I don't know if you've ever believed a lie. There's a philosophy out there that says you tell a lie until you tell it over and over and over again. You tell it so often until people begin to believe that the lie is the truth. And whatever lie you believe, whatever truth you believe, it should impact the way that you walk. The devil back in the garden said, you know what? God's holding out on you. He knows that if he tells you everything that he's holding back, that you're going to rebel against him. And Adam and Eve believed the lie, and they rebelled against God, and everything that God had told them was absolutely true. John said, my greatest joy is to know that my children, my spiritual children, not only know the truth, but that they are walking in that truth. That's why we spent so much time here. God's not holding out on anything from you. He's got a lot to share. He just wants to make sure that you and I are equipped to properly deal with the truth that he reveals to us. And so I pray that you and I would not only walk in the truth, but we would be the source of someone's joy. The other night, a couple of weeks ago, I opened up my Bible, and there was a picture of my pastor in there. And I pray that he died with joy, knowing that there were a lot of us, dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands of people who are walking in the truth because of the life that he lived, and that the joy that he now experiences in the presence of Jesus is a joy that all of us are going to look forward to as well. Let me just take another opportunity today right here at the end of the program to invite you ladies out. Put it on your calendar, set an alarm, make a reminder note, whatever you got to do. The Let It Go Tour coming to Merit Assembly of God Saturday morning at 11 a.m., it's a ladies ministry event. It's not a men's ministry event. Guys, unfortunately, you're not invited to this one. Maybe in the future we'll have one for you. But this is for ladies. 11 a.m., 165 North Grove Street. Don't miss it. It will be a blessing to you. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Saved, the gate tents of heaven.